Hello, and welcome to another podcast of Wealth, Health, and Other Things You Should Know. I'm Brian Buttel, a Senior Vice President with UBS Wealth Management in Boca Raton, Florida. I'm a certified private wealth advisor, a certified trust and fiduciary advisor, and a certified exit planning advisor, who along with my son Cameron, a certified financial planner, and also a dedicated team of professionals are devoted to a relentless pursuit of knowledge for our clients in a wide variety of areas of importance, and also, hopefully, to many of you. My hope is that you may gain new insight and perspective on many of the relevant issues of our time and how it relates to your life and your personal finances. And with that, I am extraordinarily pleased to have, and I don't think it's too much to say, one of the most popular individuals in terms of our research here at UBS. And that is Mr. John Savercool. He serves as our senior lobbyist and managing director at UBS. He is our man in Washington, D.C., and he's worked with UBS for the last 18 years, covering certainly the ever-changing landscape in terms of Washington, especially with taxes. And with that, I want to welcome John to my podcast today. And again, I would imagine many, many people are very anxious to hear your insights and your outlook in light of pretty significant changes that are scheduled to take place in D.C. So welcome.
Thank you, Brian. It's nice to be on, and I look forward to good discussion about all the things happening in Washington.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of dive right in. There is a huge amount of interest in President Biden's proposal, in infrastructure, and maybe we'll circle back to that a little bit. But in terms of changes, both to the proposed changes to personal income tax rates and, you know, to the corporate rate, there seems to be some leeway in terms of the outlook for business tax rates. But in relationship, let's talk a little bit about personal income tax rate, if you might. What is some of the dialogue you're hearing presently in D.C.?
Well, it's important to remember, Brian, that when you hear about infrastructure, that's automatically part of the tax increase. So if an infrastructure bill moves forward in Washington, the idea that President Biden has and congressional Democrats have is to raise taxes to, in part, pay for many of the infrastructure improvements. There were supposed to have been separate spending bills paid for or partially paid for by increases in corporate tax rates and then increases in individual tax rates. But that effort now is being consolidated so that there will just be one big spending bill in one big tax bill this year that will certainly contain increases in individual corporate tax rates. On the individual side, which is the subject of your question, the higher rate, the highest tax bracket, will certainly be restored to 39.6%. I think that is a given. Capital gains tax rate will likely, well, as you know, the president suggested that that the new tax rate be tied to an individual's tax bracket. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the more common rate that will be adopted will be something in the 28% range. So, that's the topic of discussion now among Democrats who are writing this bill in Congress. No one is really talking about applying the rate to your ordinary income rate. They're talking about a rate increase up to 28%.
So 28 essentially across the board is what you're hearing in discussions.
Yeah, 28 across the board. It may be a point or two higher or lower, but they've certainly come off of the idea of matching the tax rate to your ordinary income.
Well, that's a positive, I think, for a lot of people out there. Now, and I alluded to, but I want to make sure, you know, in relationship to the corporate tax rate, there's been a lot of things published. There seems to be more give. Is that correct on the corporate tax rate?
Yes. That is also, there's been some resistance from some Democrats on raising the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%. Virtually all Democrats are in favor of increasing the tax rate on corporations, but I think more are comfortable with a rate increase to the 25% range. So that's really the discussion now is on the corporate rate, is raising it to 25% rather than 28%. So again, a little give there, better than what the Biden proposal was, which was to raise it to 28%.
That's a big positive as well. Again, recently in the news, there's been, of course, President Biden with the G7 has talked about coordinating a minimum tax rate. Is that really filtered into the discussions yet? Or what is your opinion, or what are you hearing on that?
Well, it's filtered in the discussions because it's an attractive proposal if you just think about it. I think the 15% minimum tax for corporations sounds very reasonable and therefore should be adopted. But it's easier said than done. I think it's very difficult to implement a minimum tax like that because then you really get into the web of deductions that corporations take. Some are, and many of these deductions are strongly supported by members of Congress, whether they be Republican or Democrat. So if you're going to set a minimum tax rate for corporations of 50%, you really have to go in and eliminate many of these deductions. And I don't think that Congress is ready to do that right now. So I think that the minimum tax is more of a symbolic gesture. It sounds good. It may be a good policy generically, but hard to implement and not likely to be included in a final bill that I think Congress will pass later this year.
Okay. For the listeners residing in Northeast states, I guess, you know, there's a lot of interest in I think, the salt tax. Is it part of the discussion? Is it part of the give and take for, in particular, a lot of senators in the Northeast?
Yeah, it's certainly been a primary focus for certain members, House and Senate members, different states. I would find it hard to believe that a bill will be passed that won't provide some salt relief. They're not going to repeal the $10 cap and make it unlimited, but they could expand the $10,000 cap. I know that there's been discussion of maybe a $50,000 cap or a $40,000 cap. Some have suggested higher. Keep in mind that the majority leader in the Senate is from New York, Chuck Schumer. He probably would be very embarrassed if bill passed on his watch without providing substantial salt relief. So I think this is almost a given among Democrats that there will be some salt relief in the bill, although some Democrats oppose it, because it will primarily benefit wealthier individuals. So there is some food fights among Democrats about whether this should be included in the bill. My guess is there will be some relief in the final bill.
Right. And I guess, you know, the biggest issue at a 39.6% rate for certain states with state and local income taxes, high income earners, I mean, that's going to throw them close to 50%. Effective tax rates, correct? I mean, it's been a long time, I think, since we've been at levels such as that. But it appears, you know, that income tax, we're going in that direction without, you know, I think some significant rethinking. And look, I think we do need the revenues based on governmental spending, but it isn't going to come, I would imagine, without a lot of back and forth dialogue.
Yeah. And in fact, I've heard a lot of dialogue in the last week or so that's been negative toward making salt reforms. So this is going to be this will be a big fight, because providing salt relief does kind of go against the narrative that Democrats want to increase taxes on wealthier individuals, not only as a way to pay for infrastructure in part, but also to address income inequality. So they're kind of going against the tide in the salt debate, and it'll just force them to raise more money elsewhere. But again, I think that there will be some salt relief in a final bill.
Okay. Well, the single biggest question that I'm hearing from folks is the effective date. And it depends on who you read. And I think, you know, I've heard comments that, well, they can't, you know, make it impacted during the year. It's got to be next year. But in fact, it has happened before in history, correct? That taxes, in fact, have been even retroactive.
Yes, it has happened many times. If you look at the big tax bills, you know, Congress passes a big tax bill every 6 or 7 years. And in most of those, over the last 30 years, there have been retroactive provisions put in the bills. That is certainly a subject of discussion. I know you've heard from a lot of clients and colleagues about this. That's led to a broader discussion among Democrats who are writing the bill. And I think that every provision will have a different effective date. Most will have an effective date of January 1, 2022, especially as the bill is going to be passed late this year. Maybe if it was passed earlier in the year, maybe there would be a retroactive date. But I think most provisions will see an effective date of January 1, 2022. But capital gains will be handled differently. We've heard of a January 1, 2021 retroactive effective date. I don't think that will happen. President Biden has proposed an April retroactive date for this year. I don't think that will happen. But what lawmakers are discussing now is making the effective day the date of the introduction of the bill, which will come about in September in all likelihood. So you will see a retroactive date, in my view, on capital gains, but it will be closer to the date of the introduction, possibly the date of the bill passage. It won't be January 1, 2022. So people are going to have to make some decisions about this as we get closer to that September timeframe.
Okay. And you know, you see this legislation passing through reconciliation. There's not an avenue for Republican support that you're seeing at all for any give and take for things like effective date or deductions. It's going to be strictly done through reconciliation.
Yeah, that's my view. That's not been made certain yet by the Democratic leadership, but I think that's clearly the direction they're headed in. I think the bottom line is that there are just too many differences between Republicans and Democrats about the price tag on the bill, what type of infrastructure improvements it should include. Democrats have a more expansive definition than Republicans. And then how you pay for it. And Republicans don't want to get near any tax increases. Democrats want to go bigger in the bill, bigger in the tax increases, bigger on the infrastructure. Republicans want to go smaller. There doesn't seem to me to be any middle ground that would suggest that there's a lot of room for compromise here.
So even recently, there was a bipartisan agreement, I think, by some senators, for a little over $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. But even with that, you still feel that it'll be the much larger package?
Yeah, I don't think that agreement will get the 60 votes that would be needed for passage. So I think that proposal will not make it. But Brian, even if it is approved, this would come back in a second bill through budget reconciliation and get that remaining trillion or trillion and a half that they weren't able to get in the first bill. And they would use that, and that would be the vehicle for the tax increases. So still, we're going to see a Democratic-only reconciliation bill pass with 51 votes that will eventually emerge.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I think, you know, there's maybe a misconception in relationship to that out there a little bit. You know, the other is, you know, part of the proposed changes affects the states. And there's been some pretty significant changes that, you know, some people feel could result in actually double taxation of an individual state. Can you shed any light on some of the discussions there on estate taxes?
Yeah, this is an issue that's been interesting to follow because there are actually a few Democrats who oppose the existence of the estate tax, mostly wow. Democratic senators, farm states, or other states who just have a philosophical problem with taxing estates. So any expansion of the estate tax is naturally being met with some skepticism by some Democrats. Most Democrats favor increasing the tax, lowering the exemption amount, and eliminating stepped up basis on estates. But I think that where we're headed in the debate and the outcome is probably maybe a lowering of the exemption amount, maybe an increase in the tax, but probably not the elimination of stepped up basis. I think that is, I think the Democrats who have concerns about the estate tax would fight the hardest on that provision. They might acquiesce to other restrictions around the estate tax, which wouldn't really amount to that much relative to what the stepped up basis would do or the elimination of stepped up basis. So this is still very, very fluid. And this issue in particular is very fluid. They're having a hard time finding a consensus on this. I think this will be one of the last issues resolved. I've talked about the corporate tax rates and the capital gains tax rates. Those are much more developed, and there seems to be a coalescence around certain rates. But in the estate tax space, no decisions made yet. Pressure to do something, but enough opposition Democrats to suggest that the more harmful provisions relating to the estate tax will not be put into a final bill.
Well, that's, I mean, very, very good news. For listeners who aren't aware, at a person's death, for an asset that has a lot of built-in gains, the heirs receive it at the market value and thus avoiding capital gains. So a change in there could, for a lot of people, could be a dramatic shift in taxes. So in fact, if that's what you're hearing, that's very, very good news, and it'll impact a lot of folks in a positive way. So, you know, that's a real positive. I guess, you know, the last thing, and we touched on a little bit, is, you know, earlier was the infrastructure bill. So as proposed, the $2 trillion bill, you see the final outcome pretty much at that level with all of that spending or a little bit less?
Well, actually, it could be a little higher. You know, normally when Congress, and remember, Congress will be writing the bill, not President Biden. So President Biden has put forward a $2.2 trillion plan. I think Congress will be inclined, as it always is, to add things. There may be things relevant to states that or districts that maybe the president overlooked in his proposal. So I would be surprised if it was lower than $2.2 trillion. I think that the tax increases will pay for about half of those.
Okay. And that's, of course, spending, you know, phased in over a number of years, and we do need infrastructure in the United States very badly. And in that regard, I think there is bipartisanship. I think the question is the extra items in relationship to infrastructure, but certainly on the needed things, road, bridges, airports, for many years, that's been debated, and we certainly need it as a nation. With that, you know, John, I truly appreciate it. You're a guy dealing in a difficult place. I mean, I look at the famous Einstein quote, you know, that says that taxes are too difficult for a mathematician, should be asked of a philosopher when it came to taxes. And and especially now in relationship to, you know, probably some of the more significant tax law changes we've had, in several years. So again, for people listening, if you'd like to receive, you know, John's research each week, please feel free to reach out to us and we'll be happy to provide it to you. I think you'd find it very insightful and very valuable for your individual finances as well as your business. And John, thank you. You're a very busy guy. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And I know there will be many folks that will be very interested in listening and your insights.
Sure, Brian. Happy to do it. And I want people to know that if they have questions or follow-ups, they should consider me a part of your team, Brian. And always happy to follow up and talk to people and try to put you in a position to experience success. So thanks for having me on, and I look forward to future conversations.
Thank you so much, John, and stay well. Thank you for listening to today's show. Remember to subscribe and give us your feedback, and to stay safe, healthy, and also to save and invest in yourself, your future, your family, your health, and your time, and to try to serve others, and you will live a truly rich life.